This is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Well, you know, if we're coming in with Walk the Line, that it's Russell Moore, not Albert Mohler. I want to tell you that every liberal's dream has come true today. Dr. Mohler has laryngitis. He cannot speak, but it's not that serious. He doesn't have avian flu or anything like that. He'll be back tomorrow ready to take on the issues of the day. And right now he's just really frustrated because he's squeaking out his words. And we're ready for him to be back talking boldly. And he will be tomorrow, I am sure. Today I want to talk about the new Johnny Cash movie, Walk the Line, with Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon, which I saw last week, expecting to hate. I really thought I would hate this movie. The Joaquin Phoenix as Johnny Cash, Reese Witherspoon from Legally Blonde as June Carter. But I was wrong. I went into that movie and sat there and watched this film. Now, one of the things that you're going to hear from all kinds of Christian reviewers is that the faith aspect of Cash's life is muted in this film. And it is. They do not deal with Cash's conversion to Christ, with his friendship with Billy Graham, with his going around with Graham on the evangelistic crusades in the 1970s. But, nonetheless, the movie shows guilt. The movie shows sin. The movie does not glamorize the affair between Johnny Cash and June Carter that ultimately resulted in their marriage. Instead, it really does show it as what Cash and Carter themselves described it as, a ring of fire. It is guilt and condemnation. It has consequences. You see in this movie the dire consequences for Johnny Cash's family, and you see him coming back. One of the things that I think is so profound about this movie is the fact that it resonates with the prodigal son and the book of Proverbs, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit later on. But it's not just Walk the Line. There are so many films and movies that have to do with the lives of musicians. Ray, for instance, with Jamie Foxx as Ray Charles. Right now, you have the rapper 50 Cent doing a film based on his own life called Get Rich or Die Trying. People enjoy seeing these movies, and they all seem to have a similar theme. Celebrity having a dire effect upon the lives of the celebrities themselves. One of the things I want to ask you about is, what can we learn from watching these films and from seeing these life stories of celebrities who go up, 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 up in the arc of fame and then fall and crash? Some of them, like Johnny Cash, find redemption. Some of them don't. Ray Charles, the movie Ray, is a really depressing movie in a lot of ways because it ends not with any kind of redemption, but just with more celebrity. And celebrity, well, it doesn't end at the grave, but it sure doesn't last much longer after that. I want to know from you, how do we think about the price of celebrity when we see all of these films, and what can we learn from this as Christians? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, Walk the Line. It's dealing with some pretty tough issues of adultery, of fame, of substance abuse, all of these things. What are we to learn from films like this in our own churches and in our own lives? In a lot of ways, I'll tell you what I think. I think that films like Walk the Line and like Ray really show us something that the book of Proverbs has said to us all along, that the allure of sin is deceptive, and that even though it seems as though it is a way that seems right to a man, it will ultimately lead in destruction. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How are we to understand the Walk the Line movie, the Ray movie, the Get Rich or Die Trying movies that deal with celebrity? Now, you may have seen the Walk the Line movie. I want to hear from some of you. Some of you may say, I think this movie really does not deal with the faith aspect of Cash's life. Some of you may say, it does. I want to hear from you, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Johnny Cash, what can we learn from Walk the Line? But before we get to that, there are some issues in the news. John McCain is warning that the war in Iraq, high energy costs, and government spending means that the Republican Party is in trouble. He says, quote, "I think if it were not an odd-numbered year, we would have great difficulties." John McCain thinks that the GOP is in trouble. The GOP is crumbling apart right now, and it better get its act together before the 2006 elections and the 2008 election. More conversation is going to be going on about that. That's for sure. John Murtha is still maintaining that we need to get out of Iraq. The decorated Marine and U.S. Congressman is continuing to say in USA Today that staying in Iraq and staying the course is not the answer. He thinks we need to be out and we need to go. And that conversation also is going to be continuing. The cadaver exhibition that is going on right now in New York, this is the most disturbing thing I've seen in a long time. It's been going on for quite a while. New York Times had another article about it on Friday, talking about allowing people to come in and to look at all of these bodies. This is not a freak show, the organizer says. People go away fascinated by what they've seen, and they're better educated about their bodies by looking at corpses. You know, there's something really disturbing about a society that finds entertainment value in dead bodies. That just gives me the chills. Also, there's a Chicago Tribune report coming out about giving by region in the United States of America. New Englanders are the least generous when it comes to giving to charity, and Southerners are the most generous. It says that New Hampshire residents are the least generous. They rank at the bottom for the fourth year in a row, and Mississippi residents, my home state, are the most generous. Now, this is the poorest state in the union, giving the most per capita to charity, and New Hampshire, one of the wealthiest states in the nation, giving the least. And it's not just New Hampshire, it's Massachusetts, it's Vermont, it's all of the northeastern New England states that are just very chintzy, it seems, with giving to charity. I don't know if that surprises some people who have a skinflint reputation about New England, but it is a little surprising given the fact that New England has so much in terms of money, in terms of resources, but they're not giving it. It's not going out. There's also a report today from Child Development Magazine about spanking children, that it fuels aggression and anxiety, says that children who are spanked are more likely to misbehave than children who are disciplined in non-physical ways. And as the pioneer of this study says, another question is whether physical discipline is appropriate in this day and age, regardless of how accepted it may be. Tell you what, I just don't believe that report. I think that somebody went in wanting to have this kind of finding, and that's exactly what they found. I mean, just anecdotally, all of us have seen children who are spanked with measure, with care, without fury. And these children are more well-behaved than children who are given timeouts, whatever that is. Also, you have an article in the Associated Press, Reuters, I'm sorry, this week talking about the David effect, about people who look at a beautiful piece of artwork, the David syndrome. It's referring to the man who came after the Michelangelo sculpture David with a hammer. And it says it's a syndrome that people who see very beautiful things have a destructive urge. They can't help themselves. And they're arguing that it's because there's a subconscious link between creating and destroying, between sex and death. Well, I think there is a subconscious link there, but I'm not sure that we can make it into a syndrome. Also, there's a report in Washington Post talking about clothing for girls, talking about how girls' clothing, including little girls' clothing, has changed and has become more and more immodest. And the Washington Post says women once complained about being reduced to sex objects. Now their daughters are volunteering to be sex objects. Well, I think that's just simply the truth. You can see that just walking through a mall, looking at the kinds of clothing that's being sold, even to little girls in the mall department stores. Something's changing, and it's not good when it comes to girls' clothing. Well, today we're talking about Johnny Cash. We're talking about Walk the Line. We're talking about the ways in which musicians sometimes show us the depths of sin. Now, how do you look at some of these secular musicians? How in your churches and your families, sometimes you've got not just a massive figure like Johnny Cash, but you've got maybe the musicians that your own kids listen to, how do you show them that what's going on in the lives of these people is not just glamour, it's not just celebrity, but celebrity often carries a big price? I think that's something for all of us to remember, not just for celebrities, but for every one of us, dealing with pride, dealing with fame. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-8255. Maybe you've seen the Johnny Cash movie. What do you think? This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
Hello, I'm Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking about Johnny Cash today, Walking the Line, the new Walk the Line movie. And I want to talk about a little bit more than that. I think that some of these celebrity movies, and I think Walk the Line is better than most celebrity movies. I mean, you think about everything from the cheesy Elvis movies that we've all seen, to 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying, to Ray, all of these celebrity movies that show this arc of celebrity in which someone gets closer and closer to fame, and the more famous these individuals become, the more that they try to build, as Johnny Cash said, late in his career, right before his death, they build these empires of dirt. And he says, you can have it all, because all of it collapses, all of it falls down. Now, I think that that's something that all of us as Christians need to think about. Because, yeah, most of us are not going to be world-renowned traveling musicians, but all of us have the temptation to build empires of dirt. I mean, all of us really want to be, in some way, influential. All of us have a tendency toward pride. As the group Counting Crows said several years ago, all of us, we want to see me on the television looking right back at me. And I think that's the case for all of us in every influence of life, which is every sector of life, which is why you can see in churches people struggling with one another in order to build up their own reputations, their own agendas. I think that these celebrity movies sometimes show us that. In a big way, what happens in a small way in all of our lives? What I want to know is, what can we learn from movies like Walk the Line? Maybe you've seen it. Ray, some of these other films. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. One of the things I think was very impressive about the Walk the Line movie is the way that the Carter-Cash interaction, it wasn't some gushing romantic love story. I mean, this was adultery. And it was adultery that was seen as devastating, as destructive. But it wasn't kind of the caricature of sin that we often see in our evangelical films and in some of our evangelical stories. It was much more biblical. Proverbs 7, in which you have a deceptive sense of adultery, in which everything can be all right. You see David and Bathsheba there. I mean, Johnny Cash and June Carter, they wind up married. They wind up actually both Christians, and they wind up living what is kind of a beautiful story, but that comes after so much pain and so much shame, descending into that burning flame of guilt. What do you think? What can we learn from this in terms of the way that we preach the gospel? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. And we have on the line Jim from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, listening on XM Radio. Jim, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks, Russell. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm sorry about the New England thing at the beginning with the giving of money. Didn't mean to offend our New England listeners there.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. I don't pay attention.
All right. What's your thought today, Jim?
Well, I have a 15-year-old boy, so I struggle with movies like this all the time, especially where he idolizes people like you had mentioned, 50 Cent and Eminem, and what I see happening is and it's unfortunate. Is there's a serious romanticizing of the sin.
Yeah.
And I use the word sin loosely. I mean, you know, but like they romanticize the pain and the struggle of living with sin. And I don't think there's enough romanticizing the pain and struggle of repenting, of walking away from that sin. And you know, that's what I'd like my son to see, that, you know, people have made mistakes and they've done what they've done. But what have they done to better themselves and the struggle therein? You know, you look at people like Martha Stewart, and I don't mean to judge, but here's a woman who deceived for millions of dollars, went to jail and came out and had a huge payday.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we're 10, 15 years ago, she would have never gotten back on the air. Or Ellen DeGeneres, you know, the lesbian, she would have 10, 15 years ago, she would have never been allowed on air. Now she's celebrated. And it's this huge trend of romanticizing the sin instead of walking away from it.
Jim, what do you do with your son when you're talking about people like 50 Cent and Eminem and others? When you're right, I mean, there's such a romanticization of the sin, of the rebellion. It's almost seemed to be cool. How do you explain this to him?
What I do is I try hard not to judge, and I know the world is a corrupt place. It's always been corrupt. It's always going to be corrupt. I just take advantage of the opportunity to show him what the world is and what it can be. And then, you know, I just pray to God that hopefully he's going to make the appropriate decision when the time comes. And that's going to be his decision. I remember growing up and my parents trying to stop me from doing certain things, and there was nothing that was going to stop me. I've changed my whole philosophy. Instead of preventing him from doing it, I hope that I'm giving him the appropriate idea to make the right choice.
Well, Jim, thank you for that call. I don't really think I agree with you completely on that, because I think that there are some musical forms, there's some artwork that can actually transform the grid through which we see things, especially when we're dealing with children and teenagers. I would not allow my son to listen to Eminem or to 50 Cent. I'd allow them to know who these people are, and we would talk through these things. But I think that kind of, I mean, Eminem, for instance, is the most vile and violent type of nihilism. If you have a child who is listening to this constantly, I think it can't help but shape the way that child or that teenager, that young adult sees reality. And so I would be very, very careful with that. But how do you then explain? I mean, you're right. You can't shield teenagers or anyone else from the fact that we're living in a world full of celebrities who often, they're not Johnny Cash walking out in black, you know, having this sense of repentance. They're celebrating the sin. They're celebrating the rebellion. So how do you seek to deconstruct this with teenagers, with young adults, with senior adults, for that matter? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And how can we as churches portray something that I think Walk the Line portrays very well? Those of you who've seen it may disagree with me. I think it portrays very well sin as being something that is deceptive. Sin is something that is complicated. It's not as though you're going to have individuals being tempted to dress in satanic priestess robes and sacrifice goats. They're tempted toward things that seem very good and seem very pleasant. And in the Walk the Line movie, I mean, it's a very sweet scene in one sense. I found myself, as I'm watching Johnny Cash and June Carter singing together and the relationship begins, and I find myself being very moved by that. And then I have to remind myself, wait a minute. This is an adulterous affair. And I, as a Christian, not just a Christian, but a minister and a theologian, I'm finding myself warm toward that. Now, I think that's good that we see that in that film, because we see that's the way that June and Johnny are seeing this relationship, and then you see the way that they reap the whirlwind. But how can we as Christians communicate that same sense of sin and the necessity of repentance And I think one of the other things that this movie shows is that sin has consequences even after repentance. How do we communicate that in a way that secular movie makers sometimes do? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. We're walking the line today, talking about Johnny Cash, sin, and celebrity. And we'll be right back. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. I almost started singing on the air. Wouldn't that have been tragic if that had actually happened? And I've been reminded that if I'm going to refer to Mr. Cent, I need to pronounce his name correctly. It's Fitty, not 50 Cent, so I'll be sure to do that from now on. But the question is today, you've got the new Walk the Line movie. You've got all of these celebrity movies, even right down to the VH1 Behind the Music show, which is always the same thing. No one knew what was going on behind the scenes as the band starts descending into addiction and they're fighting with one another. Sometimes I think these celebrity programs actually show the reality of sin better than the church does. And honestly, I think that Walk the Line, although it doesn't show Johnny Cash saying the sinner's prayer, it does show repentance. It does show someone grappling with the reality of sin and someone kind of taking a mission for the rest of his life dealing with this. He's the man in black, after all. And I'll tell you, when I was watching this movie, watching it with a bunch of secular people in a movie theater, the line that drew applause is when Johnny Cash is going to perform at Folsom Prison. He's wearing all black, and the record producer is saying, "You can't do this. We're not going to make this album because if we do, your constituency, they're Christians, they're church folks, and they don't want to see you singing to murderers and rapists." And Johnny Cash says, "Well, then they're not Christians." The place applauds. Now, a lot of that has to do with we just want to stick our finger in the eye of Christians and Christian hypocrisy and what have you. But, I mean, what if we really, as a church, showed repentance and sin in the way that it really is? I mean, I think so often what we do is simply say, we ought not be sinning. Don't sin. And then sometimes we'll show testimonies of people who say, "I was involved in all kinds of things." I remember in my home church, we almost had people who would get up and give testimonies, and they would almost try to outdo one another. "Well, I was a drunk." "Yeah, well, I was on cocaine." "Yeah, well, I was on horse tranquilizers." You want to glamorize just how bad you were. "And then I came to Christ, and I've been happy all the day ever since." Well, Johnny Cash, that's not the case in this movie. And it's not the case in his life. You see someone who's grappling with sin really for the rest of his life, with the consequences of previous sins. He has that. He has to deal with guilt and condemnation, deal with it in Christ for the rest of his life and with the consequences from it. How do we communicate that? How do we do this in our churches in a way that sometimes films do much better? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and we have James on the line calling from Columbia, South Carolina. James, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great. What's your thought today?
I believe that sin is a very complicated, thing to actually teach sometimes. And I think the movie that I saw was Ray.
Mm-hmm.
See, being a blind man under his circumstances, even though, you can't justify the sin that he did, but you can still see that he had a Christian heart, because there were times that he would study his Bible by himself.
Yeah.
And so in that movie, I say the best way to relate it to the church is to tell the church to be real. There's some people that really have a desire to know God, but yet because of certain things or limitations, it might be more difficult for them to be, as righteous as we would want to be.
Mm, I don't know about that, James. I think instead one of the things we need to confront is the fact that, you know, one of the things I think I see in the Ray movie is in the life of Ray Charles, someone who is using a disability, using a sense of suffering in order to justify a life of hedonism. And I think we really have people in our churches like that all the time, who have had some type of suffering, and they want to use that suffering as an excuse not to be conformed into the image of Christ. I think instead what we need to do is to say God sends suffering providentially in order to conform you to the image of Christ. You need to be sanctified. You need to receive this and move toward the cross, which means that, you know, blind people aren't exempt from being godly Christians, and there are many godly Christian blind people and mentally challenged people and deaf people, and I think that that's something that we could even maybe take a movie like Ray and say this is someone who did not embrace suffering in a way that was redemptive. What do you think? How do we as a church deal with sin and the consequences of sin in a way that I think Walk the Line actually does very, very well? And I know some people are disappointed because they think it should have really shown Cash responding to Jesus, having the conversion experience. It didn't do that explicitly. I wish it would have, but it did show sin and repentance and redemption. And I think it showed it in all of its complexity better sometimes than our pulpits do. How do we correct that? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Moeller, and this the Albert Moeller Program.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Welcome back to the Albert Moeller Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Moeller, and we're talking today about the Johnny Cash movie Walk the Line. And really about more than that, we're talking about celebrity and we're talking about sin and repentance, some of the things that are featured in this movie. One of the things that a lot of reviewers said about the Walk the Line movie is it's very similar to Ray and some of the other celebrity musician movies. You've got the brother who dies early on. You've got the guilt that remains because of that. You have the substance abuse. You have the affairs. You have all of these things that come along with fame. Well, I think the reason is because Johnny Cash's life was so similar to that of Ray Charles and to so many other celebrities. And I think one of the reasons why ordinary people really resonate with films like this is not just because they're enamored with celebrities, although we know our culture is, but because there's something about sin and redemption and repentance and the hope and longing for restoration that all people created in the image of God are really kind of struggling with. I want to know, how can the church emphasize these themes in ways that these films are? And you have people standing around saying, you know, I can see in this love story between Johnny Cash and June Carter something that is true about the complexity of being fallen people. How can we as churches emphasize that better? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and we will talk about Walking the Line. We have Rick on the line from McAllen, Texas, listening on XM Radio. Rick, welcome to the Albert Moeller Program.
How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. What's your thought today?
Hey, you know what? I think that we do need to celebrate people that, you know, that truly do repent, you know. And I haven't seen this movie per se, you know, but one of the things I've never heard the church say, you know, is talk about people that truly repent, you know, and the best example I can think of is Paul in the New Testament. You know, this man used to kill Christians,
yep.
You know, and if he walked the earth today, would you welcome him into your church with open arms?
Yeah. Now, how do you do that, Rick? How would you think a church should recognize repentance in these ways?
Well, I think it's just, you know, I mean, to me as a Christian, when I go out and witness to people and stuff, you know, especially to other Christians who are seem to be walking the same path that I'm walking, you know, I want to bring them on the same line that I am, you know, and there's a reality there, you know, that are you aware that Paul did used to kill Christians?
Uh-huh.
You know, because, you know, I don't want to glorify somebody that doesn't need to be glorified, but he truly did repent, And we do need to celebrate people like that, you know. And I don't know how the church needs to work that out, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the Paul example is especially relevant here because Johnny Cash, you know, resonated so much with the life of Paul, wrote a book about the life of Paul called The Man in White, wrote a song, Man in White, where he talks about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. He becomes Paul. And I think there are many people who are kind of on the edges and the peripheries of our churches who really are in that kind of Saul of Tarsus stage right now. As a matter of fact, all of us are, to one in one sense or another. I mean, not many of us shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. But the Apostle Paul says, I'm a model for all of those who are to come after me, as someone who is transferred from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. I just think that one of the things we have to be careful about, Walk the Line and some of these other films, even though they're being done by secular movie makers, one of the things that they avoid is the glamorization of sin. And I think that that's what happens sometimes in our churches, especially with our testimonies. We want to show just how much of a difference has taken place in our lives. And so we stand up and just act as though there are no further consequences to sin, as though this is just a normal pattern to have this life of sowing one's wild oats. And now that I'm a little bit older, I'm okay because I've found redemption in Christ. Now, I think that's appropriate, especially on a one-on-one level or among small groups of people. I don't think that you ought to keep yourself hidden. But sometimes I think it's very dangerous the way that we deal with repentance and sin within our churches. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Stephen on the line in Shelbyville, Illinois. Stephen, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Oh, thank you. Hi. How are you today?
I'm great. What's your thought today?
Oh, my thought, I haven't seen the movie yet, but can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. I think there's just too much of an emphasis placed on performance, and because people want to perform for others so much, the sense of when they haven't met the expectations, it's just tragedy, you know? I mean, when we sin, we feel that we need to perform for God. We need to do things for God, to please God, and of course, those people who are unredeemed, they have no concept of, I don't need to try to perform for God because He already loves me. He already loves me for who I am, who He saved me to be. So just freedom for performance.
Well, that's a good point, Stephen. What seems like you're saying is it's not just celebrities who are putting on a public face in their performances. We see this in this film, Walk the Line. We see it in other films, Ray, for instance, in which you have individuals who come out and perform on a platform, and they're really able to connect with the crowds. They're able to be the facade that they put up. But then back behind the scenes, when the lights go down, it's a very different story. I think that's true with all of us to some extent, and that's something that Christians, churches, and Christian leaders need to be emphasizing. What do you think? Walk the Line. How can we really show in our churches a biblical view of repentance and sin and that ring of fire in our own churches? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. We have Bonnie on the line. Bonnie, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Bonnie, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, what's your thought today?
Well, I had a lot to say to your screener, so I will try to be brief.
Okay.
It makes me crazy to hear Christian people who talk about sin as if it's something that we get over or that we stop doing.
Uh-huh.
Or, I mean, I know in my personal walk, I have no doubt I am saved, but
yeah.
I sin. I sin daily, hourly, minutely.
Yes.
And, you know, I understand what you're saying about redemption, that you can't just keep continuing on sinning. And, you know, but then again, can you, if you're saved and then you sin right up to the day of your death, you still go to heaven, right?
Well, Bonnie, I think that's what you're saying there is pretty close to what the Apostle Paul dealt with to the church at Rome. Shall we sin that grace shall abound? And his answer to that is, God forbid, no. And we'll talk about this a little bit more when we come back from the break, but God forbid. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking about Walk the Line today, the Johnny Cash movie, a movie that has a lot to do with sin, grace, and repentance. And we have Laura on the line calling from Georgetown, Indiana. Laura, welcome to the Albert Mohler program.
Hi.
Did you see Walk the Line?
I did. I took my daughter and some of her friends on Saturday night to see it.
What'd you think?
I thought it was a really good movie. I didn't go expecting to like it, but I did. The thing that impressed me was June Carter's stance throughout the movie. She continued to befriend Johnny and was there to help him. She had compassion and understanding, but she was not willing to make herself an enabler.
Yeah.
And she required genuine repentance from him.
Yeah, she kept throwing those pills down the drain, and I think that's something that all of us need to see in terms of dealing with people who are in bondage to a particular sin. Laura, I agree with you. I didn't expect to like this either. I expected to hate it because I'm such a Johnny Cash fan that I'm kind of protective of him, and I was afraid that this movie was going to be just not dealing well with his life, but it did. I really believe that it did, and I think this is something that Christians should think about when we're thinking about the issue of sin. You know, my little baby, I sing to him a Carter Family lullaby every night. I'm thinking tonight of my blue eyes, June Carter's family. And my boys they've grown up around Johnny Cash songs, and they will for the rest of their lives. But one of the things I want to emphasize to them about this man in black later on is that this is someone who really did go through a ring of fire, as all of us have. And he's come out on the other side to find a deliverer there. I think what we need to be emphasizing in our own families and in our own churches is something that some of these films emphasize quite well, that faith in Christ means constant repentance, that faith in Christ means taking up one's cross and following him, and that the Christian life, in this veil of tears, is not something that is easy. Sometimes we're all men in black. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.
I wear it for the prisoner who has long paid for his crime, but is there because he's a victim of the time. I wear the black for those who've never...